Hey, I'm Tori and I'm at Halakahiki Tiki in River Grove and you're listening to Outside the Loop, Chicago's almost above ground audio magazine.
Thanks, Tori. Yep, the weather getting up into the 80s on occasion, as it did this week. I guess it's about time to head over to the Halakahiki Tiki in River Grove. Welcome to Outside the Loop. Yes, this is Chicago's almost above ground audio magazine. I am Mike Steven. This is show number 1019. And what we do here on this program is take a look at local issues and topics that don't always get mainstream media attention. Bob Ferguson is on duty today in the WGN Radio studio as our engineer. And I am very happy that you are here with the show today. Look, I never like to go to the DMV. I don't know if anyone does. I will say I think it's probably gotten better over the years. But my license, my driver's license, expired in March when I turned 46 and I needed to get a new license. I had to go in for an eye test, so I couldn't just get mailed a new license. So I went into the DMV and took the eye test. It was fine, all good. And so, Alexi Giannoulias, you're the Secretary of State. By the way, everyone's wearing a vest with your name on it. I love that. Kind of giving off Jesse White vibes. Very cool. I went through everything. I passed. And then I got a temporary paper, flimsy paper ID instead of the actual driver's license, the real ID. And they said, oh, we'll mail it to you in about 2 weeks. Now, here is a little opportunity for government efficiency. Maybe just have a printer in the back and you can print off an ID. That's all good. You give it to the whoever needs it, me, right there. They get it that day and they're out the door. Problem solved. Instead, I had to wait 2 weeks. Then I had to fly for a vacation that my family and I went on. I had to pay $40 or $45 because I couldn't use the temporary ID. So look, it's all about efficiency, right? I'm just helping you out here, Alexi. You're probably running for mayor. Just trying to help you out here. And government efficiency. Let's kick that into overdrive, right? Speaking of efficiency, artificial intelligence. We can use that AI for efficiency. We'll learn how local restaurants are doing that on the show today. Also, some new local music and much more. Stick around. We're so efficient here on Outside the Loop. It's not easy to run a local restaurant. There are many demands on owners' time, and as we live in the future, interacting with customers online has become more and more important over the years. Sometimes public customer feedback online can increase business or steer potential patrons to another business. For the restaurant owner, keeping up with this online customer interaction can be difficult. It's another thing to do on a long list of items. There is a new service called 25.ai, the number 2, the number 0, FY, 25.ai. And this service uses AI to help independent restaurants respond to reviews, understand customers, and grow the business. This is an outgrowth of the local nonprofit Takeout 25. Takeout 25 was launched during the pandemic to try to save local restaurants. Ravi Parakat is the founder of Takeout 25, and he is here with us today to talk about 25.ai. Ravi, welcome back to the show. Nice to talk to you again.
Likewise, Mike. Thanks for having me again, and always a pleasure talking to you.
Well, likewise. And man, this is really cool. I know that this is something that you've been working on for a little while here. So in case we forgot, just some context here. Takeout 25, it's now a nonprofit. It was based on a calculation that if 10,000 residents spent $25 a week on takeout meals in Oak Park, because that's where you live, the residents could basically save those restaurants. So now this has evolved into a nonprofit. And you've been looking at issues of sustainability and you've been working on a bunch of causes. And so now kind of the next stage of the evolution here is this 25.ai. So tell us what this is, because we're using AI here really as a tool for restaurant owners to interact with their customers. How does it work?
Yep. So you're absolutely right. So Takeout 25, we've been in existence for 5 years. We turned five last November. So as we were looking at, you know, how we want to want the next 5 years to evolve, we felt very determined to leverage technology as a means to enable impact and growth for restaurants, kind of taking our mission and using technology to enable that. So that is where, that aspiration is where 25.ai is coming from. And it's also the fact that, you know, there's so much technology out there at this point, that sophistication, how can you use that to help restaurants? How can you put the power of that sophistication in the hands of independent restaurants in service of, you know, their business? That is what this, you know, 25.ai is attempting.
And we are utilizing AI here. I mean, think about 5 years ago, AI maybe was on some people's radar, but boy, this is something that's really evolved over the last 5 years, and it's very powerful, as you say. So in terms of practically how this works and what owners of these local restaurants see. So I said, online reviews are a big deal. So if you think about it, you Google a place, maybe you look at the Google reviews or just what's online, what people have to say. I mean, look, we all do that, right? So this is using, if you're a store owner and you are trying to, like I said, take care of the store and make sure that the food is good and the service is great, you don't want to have to think about sitting online and responding to everybody's comments. So tell us specifically how this 25 artificial intelligence works.
Yeah, so the stat that is important is 93% of customers look at online reviews before visiting a restaurant. And, you know, 1-star rating difference can translate to 5 to 9% in revenue. Right, so it can increase revenue or decrease revenue by that much. So there is a significant amount of money linked up with reviews and social comments and what have you. So managing the online presence becomes really critical. But the problem is, you know, it takes time, and time is what these small independent restaurants don't have. Right, so you know, the time aspect is definitely something that we are trying to address with this. But it's also the stress aspect of it, right? So a lot of times, restaurant owners, you know, they see a comment there which is negative or a review, and they stress about that. They don't know exactly, you know, how to handle that. You know, this actually allows them to do that consistently and, you know, build their business and build trust with customers.
So how the AI works, if you're a subscriber with your restaurant and you link up this 25.ai. And so does it basically monitor the comments that are being put out there? And does it try to formulate responses? Like if there is a negative review about your restaurant, does 25.ai say, hey, maybe owner, try this or say this, or it's looking at these comments?
Exactly. So it is connected to, say, Google, Facebook, and Insta. And it will consolidate comments and reviews coming from on these platforms from customers for the restaurant owner to see. And then it generates response recommendations based off of those reviews. So the restaurant owner can look at it. If they're happy with what they see, they can either build on it or they can just respond or use that response, you know, on these platforms. So it makes it really easy for restaurant owners to you know, respond to these reviews. Now, it just doesn't stop there. Once you have all this customer feedback at one spot, we actually generate insights from it for restaurant owners to understand their customers a little better and figure out, you know, what actions they need to take to improve the business or what actions they need to take to promote the business and grow the business, right? So it's not just review response, it's also analyzing the reviews, understanding the customers, and figuring out what actions to take. And it does not stop there either, right? So if there is a promotion that is recommended, it actually creates a post for you and allows you to, you know, bring in praises that you've received from customers and link it to those promotions so that you're directly taking customer feedback and customer voice and using that in your marketing.
I think this is so cool. So like you were talking about, it can see kind of like, I guess, what we would call trends. So if a bunch of people in these comments are like, hey, this at this restaurant, the fettuccine Alfredo is garbage or it's not great, it might flag that and say you might want to take a look at the fettuccine Alfredo. So you could kind of see what the public is saying. So you can build off, create kind of, you know, these trend reports to see, oh, well, a lot of people are saying this, they're not saying this. And then you can kind of tailor where you want to go from there.
Exactly right. Right. So if a lot of people like or dislike certain things, it tells you whether you need to push that more or whether you need to improve something in the business. And that's exactly right. And it's about food quality. It could be about service quality, about, you know, let's say there's long wait times in one of your shifts, right? Maybe there is something that you need to do to, you know, change that. Right. Or let's say, you know, there is, you know, some parking related issue, construction is happening somewhere and parking related issue. You want to put a post out there about that to say, hey, this is where you can park and conveniently, you know, come to our place. Right. You could post about that. So it could be a whole range of things, but, you know, it's all based off of what customers are actually talking about you online, so that it's on point. So your content that you generate and how you respond and how you create that content all will be relevant to customers that you're trying to engage.
I know that you have been piloting the program 25.ai with a bunch of restaurants in Oak Park. So how's it going so far? What are you seeing with this pilot of 25?
So we started this process back late last year, right? So we started the conversation with the Takeout 25 restaurants. In fact, you know, the idea to some extent actually came from what I've heard through Takeout 25 restaurants. So it started from there. Then we, you know, built the technology, we demonstrated that, and then the pilot restaurants came on board. And what they've been doing is really testing out and giving us feedback on what's working, what's not working, what can we improve. So over the last few months, we've been refining the product, and now we are ready to take it a little more broadly into the market. And that's where, you know, today, you know, we are at that point in terms of being able to say the product is now ready for the market.
So I know that today is the official launch of 25.ai. So how people can get this, if restaurant owners are hearing this, if you're a small independent restaurant and you're thinking, boy, this would be kind of cool, this would be great to have and maybe take a little bit off of my plate, how can restaurants get hooked up with 25?
So just visit 25.ai, that is 20fy.ai. And it is very, very easy. You don't even need a username or password. You can use your Google Business profile and sign up in 2 minutes and start getting value. So, you know, it is really, really easy to use. And, you know, the power of AI is going to be in your hands in 2 minutes.
That's incredible. And the goal here is you get a dashboard, right? When you log in, you can get a dashboard, and you can, once you hook up the AI to your social media platforms, it pretty much does the rest. It generates some reports and it kind of points out things to you.
Yeah. So we are making sure that, you know, we don't automatically respond, right? Because we don't want, we want the owners or restaurant managers to be in control. So nothing goes out without their approval, but it will generate it for them, for their approval. So you know, it takes the next step. We're being very cautious. The capability to respond automatically exists, but we are not comfortable yet to bring that level of automation to the space yet.
Yeah. Like I always say, I've seen Terminator. I know how this ends. Let's just slow it down here and still have some human control over what's going on here. So it sounds like that is very much a part of this. But I think this is so cool. And again, like I said, kind of the next step in the evolution of Takeout 25. This program, again, is called 25.ai. That's the website. So we can go to 20FY25.ai if you are a small restaurant owner. This could be pretty cool. And is this kind of like a subscription service then, Ravi, if someone signs up?
Yeah, it is a subscription model, and it is free to start for 14 days. And then it is $25 a month.
All right, well, check it out. 25.ai. We're living in the future. Here we go. But here's an example of maybe AI being used for good and to help out local businesses. And this is an outgrowth of Takeout 25. Ravi Parakat is the founder of Takeout 25. That website, takeout25.org. Again, check out 25.ai as well. Ravi, it's always great talking to you. Congrats on launching this today. I'm excited to see where you go next.
Thank you so much, Mike, and to all the independent restaurant owners out there. Do come and check it out. And if you know an independent restaurant that could use this, please ask them to come check it out, 25.ai. And as always, a pleasure, Mike. Great talking to you.
In a band, or let's say you're a solo musician, you're playing around town, you want to have a good image on stage. And look, if you are pressing vinyl, you want those records to look slick too, with some cool album art. You want decals, you want that good image. A few years ago now, in 2023, on this very show, we learned about a local company called Music Graphics Chicago. They are doing some really neat graphic work for artists and other folks, too. The website is musicgraphicschicago.com, and Deb Sanzo and Jamie Riani are the co-owners of Music Graphics Chicago. Deb and Jamie, it's nice to talk to you again. It's only been 3 years, no big deal.
No, that time flies.
Hey there, Mike.
Good to hear you. Thank you so much.
You got it. It's great to talk to you guys again. So let's just at the outset here, and I should say that you've got some stuff happening we'll get to, but just refresh our memory. I said that you have been working to help these artists and other folks have a good image, as it were, on stage and beyond. So tell us about the work that you do specifically. I kind of gave an overview there, but what are you all about with Music Graphics Chicago?
Music Graphics Chicago is our company. It stemmed from our parent company, Leo Graphics Chicago, which is a large format digital printing company. But Music Graphics Chicago really hones in on music. And the bread and butter of our business is album jackets. So because vinyl is back. It has been for several years now. And we just passed Record Store Day a few days ago.
Yeah.
But that's a great day. But we provide album jackets. We make album jackets for local bands and national bands as well. And what started out as, you know, let's try this and see if it works, has grown into something huge. We have clients from all over the country sending in their artwork monthly to us to get their jackets made for their releases. And the great thing about us, Mike, is that we don't have any minimums. I have people that send in orders for, say, 20 titles, and they might just need one. Yeah. I have people that send in art for their jackets, but they need 300. We could do that. Why? Because we run digitally and we run once or twice a month, and we gang up all of our clients' orders at once for one mass production. So that person that needs one is going to pay a premium because the art, you know, we need to get the art and everything ready, but they're still able to get it. Most companies, if not no company, will do that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's it's basically like standard practice for any of the larger shops that have been running album jackets and inserts and hype stickers and all that, to have pretty high minimums. The lowest ones we see out there are like in the 300-400 range. Most of them are like 500. Some are, you know, 1,000. And wow, what happens is if the average band needs albums made, wants albums made, they're, you know, sort of handcuffed to these high minimums.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to ask you this. I know I asked you this 3 years ago here, but we are seeing in this digital age that, you know, things like Spotify and streaming and on-demand music, that's a huge, huge thing. And Deb, you said, yeah, LPs, vinyl, I should say, coming back, and they have been for a few years. So even with the rise of digital access to music, you're still doing okay when it comes to business.
Absolutely. And I look at the Spotify's of the world as just another outlet for the artist, because the album jacket is a piece of art and people want that tangible, tactile experience. They want to hold the album jacket. I'm not sure how old you are, but I'm in my 50s, and, you know, growing up, a little girl, I loved holding the album jacket and reading the liner notes and the smell of it and feeling it and holding it to my chest. You know, if it was like Sean Cassidy singing to me, I'm hugging him on my bedroom floor in my beanbag chair.
Yeah.
You know, it's that whole experience. So they're doing both. So we're happy that we could provide that service. But we are also, you know, under the Music Graphic Chicago umbrella, we're providing, you know, removable decals for their bass drum heads, wraps for their drum kits, backdrops for their stages, flyers,
shirts, banners, pipe stickers,
the whole package.
Well, I got to say, I mean, I'm 46, so I didn't do the Sean Cassidy thing, but you know, I know what you mean. I dig vinyl. So, all right, look, you're doing some great work with Music Graphics Chicago. Again, that's the website, musicgraphicschicago.com. And now you have this event coming up on Saturday, May 9th. And I should mention that the two of you are very connected to the Chicago music community because you're part of it. So this is happening in Norridge at a place called Goat Village. I got to say, I've never been there, but I like the name Goat Village, 4701 North Cumberland in Norridge. Tell us what's coming up on Saturday, May 9th.
Well, that would be Goat Stock. And it is a it is a day long festival. It starts at 2 and ends around midnight or so. 15 different acts, and the acts range from everything from hip hop to jazz to metal to acoustic to Americana to
punk
to rock. It's basically a mishmash up and down all over the place, and we make it that way because we've done a lot of shows as our band 13 Monsters. And we're well over the 200 show mark now. And we've done, you know, night after night where it's hard rock band after hard rock band and punk band. And that's really, really cool. But after a while, we wanted to hear other things. And we wanted to make our own festival that had everything in it so that, you know, you would have jazz guys there and you'd have a jazz crowd that maybe never saw a, you know, like a hardcore stoner rock band or like a hardcore punk band. And you get to, you know, see other things, cross genres, trade notes, trade fans, you know? Yeah. So, it's something that we started years and years and years ago. Actually it was Bacon Stock. We own Bacon Stock and Goat Stock. Uh-huh. And we started Bacon Stock, which was just a backyard party in my backyard. I think I did it there in my backyard twice until somebody lit my lawn on fire with gunpowder. And so we said, this is never going to happen again in my backyard. So Bacon Stock moved to a bar, to another bar, and then it moved to a small brewery, and then it moved to a larger brewery, and it was getting bigger and bigger until we all got hit with COVID and it shut everything down. Well, after COVID, our band started playing every once in a while at Goat Village. And one thing led to, you know, another. And they said, hey, you guys own Bacon Stock. How's about you have something here? And we said, okay, let's make it Goat Stock. And we'll do that in the spring. And then maybe we'll do Bacon Stock there in the fall. And that'll be a much, much larger thing with, you know, multiple stages. But yeah, now this is the you know, nice little DIY festival for everybody. It's like the Everyman Festival.
This is going to be great. Coming up, Goat Stock on Saturday. That's May 9th from 2 p.m. to around midnight. This is happening at Goat Village in Norwich. That's located at 4701 North Cumberland. And you got, what, 15 bands and solo artists. You get music, of course, and the raffle and good times. You can come and go as you please. And you guys are running this. I love it. I love that we live in an area where you could just do this on your own. And you are certainly doing that. And so Goat Stock, we could check out, I know, your Instagram. You've posted some stuff up there about what's coming up on Saturday, May 9th. So we'll check that out. But all of the info can be eventually found through musicgraphicschicago.com. The website for Music Graphics Chicago, Deb Sanzo and Jamie Riani are the co-owners of that local company. Lots going on with the company. Lots going on with local music here in the city. You guys are in the thick of it. Jamie and Deb, thank you so much for talking today.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you so much.
Hope to see everybody there on May 9th.
Let's talk about some local music on the show this week, coming from Todd Kessler. We can check out the website, toddkesslermusic.com. And Todd Kessler is here with us on Outside the Loop. Todd, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, you sound great. And I want to talk about your music here, just kind of starting out, because we'll get into the fact that you have a new album that is called Here Is All We Have. It was released earlier this year. And so your music, you know, you've been called a singer-songwriter, but I get that. But I think you're, I don't know, a little bit more than that. Not that being a singer-songwriter is bad by any stretch, but I think there's a little bit more going on.
Yeah, I'll take that. I'll take that. What were you thinking?
Well, I mean, you know, when we think of singer-songwriter, I think a lot of us maybe conjure up the one person with a guitar and maybe you're blowing on a harmonica or something and it's very, very soft. And certainly you have those more introspective songs, but there's some production going on here.
Oh yeah. I definitely don't shy away from the production. Look, I am sometimes the guy by myself with a guitar blowing through a harmonica. In fact, I'm that guy pretty often. However, when I'm making a record, I really see the studio as just one of the members of the band. And so I love just getting really into the production side of things. I'm not a producer myself, so that's why I always work with very talented people in that regard. But to me, the arrangements and the possibilities of what you can bring to that solo guitar harmonica thing is just endless. And there's, I just really love exploring all those different possibilities.
And there are so many possibilities when you're in the studio. You could be there forever just tweaking guitar and vocals and adding more guitar and more vocals and everything else on top of it. So, which is cool, I think. But your story, this is neat. So you're from around here. You went to U of I and you had, this is a few years ago now, but you had a residency at Shuba's in Lakeview, great room. Yep. And this is nuts. Then you were chosen to be on the TV show The Voice. What the heck happened? How did that go down?
Well, you know, it went down in a pretty typical way in that I waited in line at McCormick Place with a few thousand other people and tried out. But the whole thing sort of aligned with, I was just like getting ready to release a new album with my band at the time. And, you know, when the TV people come knocking, you don't say, hold on, give me a second. So I had this I had this residency lined up at Shuba's for to celebrate another record release, my 2012 release, Sea Fever. And I had to, when I kept sort of advancing in the process and eventually made it on the show and knew I was going to be in LA for an extended period of time, I had to reach out to Shuba's and say, hey, this is what's going on. I don't know when I'm going to be back. I'd like to keep as much of the residency as I can. And what ended up happening is I had to miss the first 2 weeks. And I think we just kept like the openers just became the headliners and they filled out those two nights. And then I was back for the last 2 weeks of the residency. So I didn't end up missing the whole thing, but you know, you can never really tell with these sorts of things. And Shuba's was super cool with letting me keep what I could. And yeah, it was sort of a whirlwind.
It sounds that way. And when you were on The Voice, what was that experience like?
I loved it. I had a great experience. There's nothing wrong with getting flown out to LA, live in a hotel for a couple months, you know, like yeah. it was winter here. So I got to be in the sunshine. I learned a ton about myself as a performer and artist. I got to meet people from all over the country. And of course I got to be mentored by CeeLo Green. He was my coach and got to get some mentoring from Rob Thomas of Matchbox 20. And it was just a really, really cool, very cool, fun experience.
Well, that's good when it works out, when you can have a little positive Hollywood story, I suppose. But
yeah,
really, I mean, you took from that. And I think that's really cool about you is that you took some lessons from that experience. So here you are, you get to work with some of these really established musicians and well-known musicians, and you're applying that to what you do. And, you know, that takes a level of introspection as you were talking about here. And so you, in your career, you also have written for television and commercials. What kind of things have you done?
So, for TV stuff, you know, I've had some of my like existing songs placed in, you know, different shows and commercials and things like that. But then during COVID, I had the opportunity to sort of get a little bit deeper in that world and process and began writing for commercials with a collaborator of mine. And, you know, nothing huge that you're going to like remember, but like, I think our biggest job was we did a custom campaign for like RX bars, those granola bars,
okay,
you know,
yeah.
And that was like, it gave me something to do in COVID, something to keep myself busy, make a little bit of dough, you know, gigs weren't really happening.
Right. Sure.
So I had a lot of time. But yeah, that was a cool experience. I haven't really, you know, since that time, I sort of got away from it because of varying reasons, but it was a fun little side quest.
Yeah, that's really cool. I love that story. Well, let's talk about your new album. Again, it's called Here Is All We Have. It came out earlier this year.
Yeah.
There's some production on this record. Tell us about this new album.
Wow, this album came about in a really interesting way. It was, again, I started writing these songs during COVID. I ended up with a handful of tunes that I was feeling really good about. And so I reached out to my longtime producer, a guy named Mark Daniel Nelson, who's out in LA. And I told him, Mark, I think I'm ready to do a record. I don't know what's going to happen with COVID and everything, but here are some songs I've been working on. Let me know what you think. And he got back to me after listening to the tunes, and he had just met this producer over in Ireland, guy goes by the name Halley. And he's like, after listening to these songs, I want to connect you with this producer I just met over in Ireland. And so I connected with Halley and we just really hit it off. And we started getting together on Zoom every week and workshopping songs and working on arrangements. And eventually we decided that I would fly to Ireland and we would make a record. It was a very cool process. I went over to Ireland a couple times for tracking and things like that. And then we ended up, the record got finished, as it often does, with overdubs here in Chicago and over in Ireland.
And I got to tell you, one of the reasons why I really like this album, and it does sound great. Again, the album is called Here Is All We Have by Todd Kessler. You got some horns in there, man. I love a good horn section.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. So I've been playing with horn players forever. My the album that I did when I was on The Voice, where I had the residency at Shuba's, my band was 9 pieces at that time, and I had a horn section and a string section, and so I love horns, and got to work with a great horn arranger over in Northern Ireland named Michael Barkley, and he did such an incredible job. And I really think, I think they give a nice flavor to the tunes. And I think that I finally will. When everything that kept us apart
has left me nothing but a broken heart. It all sounds really great. And we can catch you this Monday, April 27th at Space in Evanston, which is a fantastic room, 1243 Chicago Avenue in Evanston. Tell us about the show on Monday.
All right. So we're going to be playing the record. We're not going to be playing it, you know, front to back, but we're going to be playing all the songs from the new album and along with some older tunes from previous records. But we're also going to be playing a few cover tunes that sort of lean into the storytelling of how the album came to be. And that's all I'll say for that. I don't want to give anything away.
Sure.
But I've got my band who's been with me for a long time. We've got a great violin player joining us, and we've got a sax player, and we've got a great artist, another local artist opening up the show, a guy named Pat McKillen, who's an incredible local singer-songwriter as well. And Space, I love playing Space. I've been playing there since 2009. And it's just, it's one of my favorite rooms, not just to perform at, but just to go see shows at, because it's so cozy and it sounds just so good.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited.
That is coming up Monday, this Monday, April 27th. Space in Evanston is located at 1243 Chicago Avenue. Todd, what time does the show start?
Show starts at 7:30 with Pat, the opener, going on then, and then we'll grace the stage shortly after.
There we go. Check out ToddKesslerMusic.com, the website for Todd Kessler, who is a local musician. The new album is called Here Is All We Have. It is out right now, and go catch him at Space in Evanston, the record release show. It's going to be great. Todd, thanks so much for talking to us today. Keep it going, man.
Thank you. Really appreciate it.
And that just about does it. Outside the Loop show number 1019 is done. Thank you very much for listening to the show today. Thanks to Bob Ferguson, who is our engineer on duty today in the WGN Radio studio. I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful week. And I will talk to you again next time right here on Outside the Loop.